The following audio is from Harvest Fellowship. For more information about Harvest Fellowship, visit harvestabq.org.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
All right. Before we get into our message, I need John Mascarenhas to join me for just a moment. Where is John? I know he's here, and I know he's super excited to come up here. if you know John, we're gonna have a group hug in a moment. No, I'm teasing. Man. So John and Monica are leaving us. All right. Well, we'll say this. We are sending them. We've made the decision. We convinced them. We tried to convince them to stay. They won't. So we're going to send them. But John and Monica had to leave. She didn't know we were doing this. So she's packing, right? She went home to pack. So John and Monica are moving to Colorado, and they're going on staff at a church there. John will be an associate pastor and worship pastor, and they're going to serve there in that community. When Lisa and I came to Harvest, we were in desperate need of help in the area of worship, and John and Monica were serving at another church in town, but they felt called to come to our rescue, and they have been, John is a rock. He is a steady, faithful friend, and John, I appreciate you. I'm so thankful for you, but today we wanted to honor you, and I wanted to pray over you and your family, and just believe God for even better things ahead. And John's love language is donuts, and so we bought him 2 dozen donuts this morning. We couldn't think of a better way, honestly, to honor you. And so I've asked Russ to come, and Russ, if you'll grab a mic there, I know you posted a post earlier this week, and I know how much you look up to Russ, and man, John, I just, in front of everyone, you have grown so much in our few years here, and if you come to our prayer nights, he's always led on our prayer nights. We have no idea what we're going to do now. He's leading a whole bunch of Sundays, and he's on the team when he's not leading, and he's going to leave a big hole. And so we're praying that God would send us some more. It's going to take about 4 to fill the hole you're leaving, but we're just praying that God would send those to us. And so I just wanted Russ to pray over you. Church, would you join us? And let's pray over John and Monica as they make this transition. So
let's all pray. Heavenly Father, just so grateful for my friend who is so talented and so in love with you, and I'm grateful, God, that we sent him knowing that he's going on purpose. We thank you for the call that you've placed on he and his family's life, and Lord, I pray that you would go before he and Monica, that you would just make every single detail work. Whatever you want to do with their family, they have said, we're pushing all of our chips into the middle of the table with you, God. And so I pray that as he goes to Colorado, that you would make just the way. And Lord, as the church there just accepts them and their family, Lord, I pray that great and mighty things would happen in the city that they're in. I cannot wait to see what happens through these guys. I pray that your mantle of leadership would just rest on John as he leads the worship team there and the effort there. And as he leads in pastoral leadership in this church, and he and Aaron would just go together, and they would just blow the doors off the city for you. Amen. God, we thank you that you overcame the enemy, that the enemy's trying to put things in the way. And Lord, you are the overcomer, and you have made a way where there is no way. And so, Father, we pray, Lord, for his family as they pack up and they move something familiar into something they don't know. I just ask that you would comfort their hearts, give them peace, give them rest, and in everything that they do as they glorify you, Lord. Lord, we pray for your kingdom to be so increased through John and his family's ministry. Lord, we love you and we thank you for the gift that he is. It's your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's make a John sandwich now because he loves hugs so much. Love you, John. Oh, man. Well, we're starting a new series today called Life Hacks. And I'm going to probably get in trouble for this, but when I say life hacks, I am not talking about the noise you make when you clear your throat, okay? My wife is beautiful, amazing, wonderful in almost every single way, but she picked up a bad habit from her father, and every single morning, when she brushes her teeth, she feels compelled to hack. I mean, like, it's unbelievable. You'll have to, I don't know if she'll ever do it for you, but it's like you did not know that such a noise was able to come out of such a beautiful, you know, princess. But she hacks, and I'm worried because our little girls, they are picking up on this. And so I'm praying in advance for my future son-in-laws because I got some hackers. I'm just telling you, all right? But this series, it's not about that kind of a hack, all right? This is about a life hack. So a life hack is a clever, simple way to solve a problem, all right? And so I'm going to share each week in this, I'm going to share with you some life hacks. And what I'd like for you to do you can help me participate. I'd like for you to share with me some of your favorite life hacks. So if you have a favorite life hack, what I'd love for you to do is post it on our Harvest Facebook page, do a little video or a little post or something, and share with us your favorite life hacks, and then we're gonna use those in the next couple of weeks, and then you're gonna win a prize if I pick you. If I'm gonna pick the best one, you're gonna win a prize. I don't know what it is, but it probably rhymes with Chick-fil-A. All right, so let me share a couple of life hacks with you. Okay. The first one is inspired by my wife as well. So she has a little bit of a bad habit of touching hot pots and pans while she's cooking and gets little burns, you know, on her fingers and whatnot. And we figured out a hack. So if you're cooking, you get a little burn, the remedy is probably inside of your refrigerator. So open your refrigerator and find the mustard, and you can just put the mustard on that burn. Just kind of rub it on, makes a little paste, and it helps, right? It's a good one, right? So try that next time. And then here's a productivity hack. So during our last series, Addicted to Busy, we talked about how our email inboxes just get so full, all this stuff that you signed up for that you didn't know you signed up for, and it just overwhelms your soul. And so I'm going to help you. So go to your inbox, use the search feature, and type in unsubscribe, and it'll pull up all of the emails that you have unsubscribed to because they're required to have an unsubscribe button somewhere on that email. And then you can go through and go, I don't want that, I don't want that. And you can very quickly kind of sort through those, unsubscribe from a whole bunch all at once. You're welcome for that. My last one is what we'll call a snack hack. Does anyone like ice cream? Anyone? Wow, really? Like, not, does anyone like ice cream? Let me try. Okay, I was like, wow, okay. Anyone like Oreos? Oh, man. Anyone like when ice cream meets Oreos, right? So here's the snack hack for you, okay? I brought some ice cream, and the hack is, I have a picture of it on the screen, is you take your Oreos, and you crush them up, and you put them in a pepper grinder, and then check this out. How awesome is that? How awesome is that? All right, so I'm going to give this away. Does anyone want to eat some ice cream during... Come on, Jose. Come on, Jose. Oh, my beloved.
No, that's pepper.
It's Oreos, brother. Taste it. I'm not going to put pepper on your ice cream. This is ridiculous. You don't trust your pastor? Next week, we're gonna hack trust, I guess, all right? So there's some life hacks for you. But today we're going to talk about how to hack pain. Every one of us knows about pain. You've experienced some pain in your life. There's all kinds of different kinds of pain, right? Some of you today, you might be having some physical pain. You're sick, or you're not feeling good, or you got an injury, or something's going on. You came in today, you got some physical pain. I was talking to Mark Howell a couple of weeks ago, and Mark was talking to me about getting old, and he said to me, he said, "Pastor, getting old is not for wimps." And I'm like, stop encouraging me, you know? And he's like, "You just start falling apart, Pastor, and you can't do it." I'm like, stop it, seriously. I don't want to hear anymore, right? And some of you understand, right? It's just, you got physical pain, or maybe emotional pain, or chronic pain. You got sudden pain. And here's two categories. I'll just quickly, some of you have recent pain. Some of you have experienced pain very recently. It's raw. It's if I poked you in the wrong spot, right? And emotionally, physically, spiritually, it's you're bruised. You've got some pain that's recent, and then others of you, you've got some past pain. You got some stuff that happened to you a long time ago. Previous marriage, or when you were a kid, something that happened, and you've been unable to really process that pain, and so you've carried that with you through every season of life. And today I really want to help you. I want to help you to hack pain. And there's a verse in John chapter 16, verse 33. I find this to be one of the most encouraging verses, really, in the Bible. And I'll just warn you, it does not start encouraging, but it ends encouraging. And this is Jesus talking, and he says this. He says, "I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace." And here's the not encouraging part. He says, "Because in this world you will have trouble." In other words, this is the Son of God promising us that you're going to have trouble in your life. You're going to have pain. Things are going to happen. You know, here's what I know about pain. Sometimes we bring it on ourselves, right? By our own decisions, or where we put ourselves, the things, the places we go, the people we're with, the things we do. Sometimes we bring it on. And other times it interrupts our life, right? It's brought into our lives by someone else. But here's the promise, is Jesus said, you're going to have trouble, but here's the encouraging part, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. One of my favorite things to say is this: we can overcome because he already overcame, right? So here's the promise. He says, look, you're going to have pain. You're going to have trouble. Things are going to happen, but I have already gone ahead and I've made a way. I have paid the price. I have done what it takes so that you can overcome. So the question this morning is not, you know, will there be pain? It's what do we do when the pain visits our lives? What do we do with that pain? Well, before we dig too deep, I want to remind you of our theme verse this year. What I want to do is I want to set you up today to really dig in to your pain and to open your heart to what God can do. See, our theme verse, we'll say it in just a minute, but our theme verse says that God can do anything, but he does it by working deeply and gently within us. So what I'm asking you today is actually pretty courageous. I'm asking you to open your heart to the pain. To, you know, some of you, especially old pain, you know, we have a tendency to just kind of lock it away, right? It's, you put it in a box in your heart, and you put a padlock on it, and you wrap a chain around it, and you push it to the deepest, darkest recesses of your heart, and you're like, I don't want to see that again. I don't want to go there. I don't want to talk about it. And what I'm asking you today, I'm asking you to dig that pain up, not so that you'll feel it again, but because I'm also asking you to invite the Spirit of God to come into your life and to work deeply and gently inside of you and to help you today as we talk about how to hack pain. So we're going to read this verse together, and then once we're done, I'm going to ask you to join me in a quick prayer. I'm going to ask you to position your heart to hear from God today. But today the prayer is specific. I'm asking you to position your heart to hear from God concerning your pain. How many of you will do that with me this morning? So let's read our verse together on the count of three. One, two, three. God can do anything, you know. Far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, his Spirit deeply and gently within us. Let's pray. Father, we ask right now that you would speak to our hearts today as we open your word. God, we're positioning ourselves to hear your voice today. And as we do that, we're praying a specific prayer today that you would help us with the painful things that have happened in our lives. God, will you help us through your word and through your presence today to be able to sort through the pain? Will you come to our rescue today? Come to our side. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Often in our pain, we ask questions like this. God, where are you? God, why did you allow this to happen? And often it's, why did you let this happen to me, right? Why is this pain happening here and now? And I just want to alert you to the plan of the enemy, okay? The question of why me, why now, it's not a bad question, but what the enemy wants is the enemy wants you to focus on the pain. Because if you focus on the pain, if you continue to just ask those questions, it begins a downward spiral, right? I mean, just into deeper and deeper misery, right? And what ends up happening is that you're focused on the pain rather than on the God who can rescue you. I don't know if this ever happened to you or not, but I grew up working construction, and often on the job site, one person or another would unintentionally step on a nail. It would go through their shoe and into the foot, right? And the joke would be, you know, they're like hopping around, like, oh my goodness, you know. And one of us would say, come here, I can fix that. And they're, oh, okay, and then come over and go, put your thumb out on the table. I'm going to smash your thumb with my hammer, and you'll forget about the nail in your foot. Right? Well, I'm not too interested in that strategy, right? But this is the idea, is that wherever you are feeling the most pain often gets your most attention, right? That was the strategy in hitting the thumb. It's like, let me just divert your pain from one area to another. And that's exactly what the enemy would like to do, is get your attention on the pain and then divert it from one painful thing to another. Because if your focus is on the pain, then it's not on the God who can come to your rescue. So I felt led to encourage you this morning. The questions are not bad, but don't allow yourself to get sucked down into that pit of despair, okay? Because it's a lonely place. The enemy wants you to think that in your pain, you are all alone. I'm just here to tell you today, you're not alone. God has never left you. He didn't lead you into this painful place, right? He's not abusing you. In fact, there's far too many people running around today believing wrongly that, you know, the pain, God is punishing me because of the things that I did, right? Let me just tell you, nowhere in the Bible can I find scripture to support that that's the kind of God that we serve. The God that we serve is a God that has more love towards you than I could ever describe with the English language. He loves you. He is for you and not against you. So don't buy into the lie that you're alone and you're not going to get out of it So let me help you. We're going to hack pain this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 says this. It says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. So here's the first thing I want you to know as we're talking about pain, is that God comforts us in our pain. If you will let him, God will comfort you in your pain. If you will let him, God will comfort you in your pain. I love how Paul describes God here. He uses two very descriptive phrases. First of all, he says he's the Father of compassion, and then he says he's the God of all comfort. You see, Paul was trying to use the words that he, you know, the language of his day to describe accurately to us this God of comfort. And the phrases he uses, it's like he's saying this. He is the God who invented compassion. He's the God who invented comfort. I mean, he embodies every aspect of it. He didn't read about it in a book. He literally made it. He's the father of it. And if you will allow him to, if you'll let him into your heart, into your painful situation, he will comfort you. And so my admonishment to you this morning is this: lean into the comfort of God. Lean into the comfort when you're in your painful situation. See, we all have different ways of dealing with pain. We all deal with it, you know, individually different, and even as families, we kind of have our ways of dealing with it. And, you know, I was thinking the other day, I grew up playing Little League baseball, and, you know, playing Little League baseball, I had a coach that, you know, if you got hurt on the field, you know, you slid into second, and you scuffed up your knee, or, you know, got hit with a line drive or something, you know, you get hurt, and this coach, I mean, he was not the coach of all comfort, okay? He would look at you and he'd go, get up, boy, rub some dirt on it and get back in the game. And I always thought that was weird advice. You know, it's like, okay, well, that didn't help at all, right? What he was saying was, this is a strategy for pain management. He was saying, suck it up, right? Suck it up, buttercup, let's go, right? Like, come on, get back in the game. And see, here's the interesting thing. Pain, if we allow it, it'll pull you out of the game, right? It'll distract you from the thing that you've been called to do, created for. So here's a pain strategy. It's like, well, just suck it up. You know, rub some dirt on it. Let's go, right? Others of you, you use this tactic. You use avoidance. It's like the ostrich strategy, right? Stick your head in the sand, pretend that nothing is happening, and just hope that when you pull your head back out of the sand, that it's all gone away. And I'm just going to tell you, it's a dangerous strategy. In fact, what I've learned often the hard way is that when you avoid your pain, your problems, your issues, that they only get bigger and uglier and costlier. They don't go away, okay? Trouble doesn't just naturally go away. There has to be an engagement with the pain in order for the pain to go away. But some people today, that's your strategy. I'm just going to avoid it. Others of you medicate it. I went to India on a missions trip with a group of pastors, and we one of the things we were doing, we were working with a hospital there, and we got the tour, and we met with the chaplains there at the hospital, and we went floor by floor praying over the patients, and then they took us to the pharmacy in the hospital, and they were like, hey guys, one of the things we like to do for you, you know, pastors, is you can buy your medication for like pennies on the dollar here in India. And it's the same stuff you would buy at home. And so, you know, if you want to buy something, you know, you can buy something. And I was with some pastors that, I mean, they got all excited. I mean, they're like loading up their suitcases with all this medicine, all this stuff. And I kind of felt left out. I was like trying to figure out, you know, what ailment I needed, you know, to invent, to buy some medicine for. And, you know, I was like, man, everyone's buying medicine. And then our host, she shows me this spray. And she says, this is our number one thing that American teams take back home. And I'm like, why? What is this? And she's like, it is like magic. If you spray it on sore muscles, the pain just goes away. And I'm like, I want 10 boxes. I want 10 of those. Like, just give it to me. I was so excited for this magic spray, you know. And we bought the place out. Like, every pastor got a bunch of them. We loaded up. And I get home, and I'm all excited. I'm showing, you know, all the souvenirs I brought. And I'm like, Lisa, I got the magic spray, you know. And of course, Lisa is a hippie. And she was like, what is in that? You know, I'm like, I don't know. I don't even care. I mean, if it's magic, it doesn't matter, you know. And she's like, your fingers are going to fall off. I'm like, I don't care, right? It's magic spray, right? And she won't use it. But it's pretty awesome if you ever need any. And here's the deal. There's a lot of ways to medicate our pain, right? It's just like a spray that it's just like something to numb the pain, because the idea is if we don't feel it any longer, then we don't have to deal with it. If we don't feel it, then the pain isn't there. But what we're doing is we're deferring it. And often there's some really unhealthy ways that we today medicate our pain. We have people all over who are medicating the pain with various substances, with drugs and alcohol, with addictive behaviors. You're medicating your marital pain by looking at pornography. You're medicating it by making really, really unhealthy situations. And I'm just going to tell you that when you medicate it in those unhealthy ways, it's very similar to the avoidance. You're making it worse. You're complicating it. So what if, church, what if we actually dealt with the pain? What if we actually dealt with it? And the way that I'm hoping you'll deal with it is you'll lean into the comfort of God, the God of all comfort, the Father of compassion will take you into his arms and walk you through a healing process as you sort through the pain, no matter if it was done to you or by you. He will work with you, remember, deeply and gently inside of you, because God can do anything. But God's comfort is not just for the sake of comfort. God's comfort actually has a purpose. 2 Corinthians says that the God of all comfort comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves received from God. So the idea is this, is that you are in a painful situation and you receive comfort from God, and he answers your questions and he loves on you and helps you, and you get through that, and then you are now qualified to help someone else who has a similar pain. You now can take that same comfort that you received, and now you can give that to someone else. So I made a list this week to kind of help you, to spur you on. Here's a list. Here's a few things that I know about, okay? Because I was in that pain and I received comfort from God. So your list might be similar, might be different. So I know about marriage pain. What I probably should say is I know about being a pain in my marriage that created great marriage pain. That's probably more accurate, okay? But what I'm saying is Lisa and I understand what it's like to be at the end of our rope in marriage. We understand what it's like to be in crisis in marriage. I understand financial pain. I know what it's like to have the bills stacking up and unable to pay them, and creditors calling and they're knocking on the door and they're looking for answers. I understand sitting in the court and talking to the judge about bankruptcy. I understand financial pain. I understand sin pain. I know what it's like to disobey God's word, to read what it says and to do something different and to experience the consequences of sin. I understand pride pain. I understand what it's like to be prideful and to think that I can do it on my own and to think I'm better and I know where that leads. I know the pain of having been knocked off of my pride pedestal. So I only say those to help you to ask you this question. So what have you been through? What pain have you been in, right? Maybe it's similar to mine, maybe it's different, right? But what have you been through? Because here's the life hack. You can hack pain by finding purpose. You can hack pain by finding the meaning. You see, often in our painful situations, all we do, we just wallow in the pain. It's that idea that misery loves company, right? It's like, you know, sometimes we just want people to come, oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, I can't believe that happened to you. Oh, I can't believe you're going through it. And if we're not careful, we just wallow in the pain. We just sit in it. I mean, you just kind of settle in it. And you just sit in that pain. But you hack the pain by finding purpose, by saying, you know what? I've been through this and I've received comfort from God. And so now I'm going to go and I'm going to find other people and I'm going to give hope and I'm going to share my story and I'm going to use my pain to empower others to walk through similar painful situations. I find great satisfaction every time I'm sitting across from a couple who's in marital crisis and they're sharing with me their pain and they're sharing with me their struggle and they're pouring their hearts out. And I'm just telling you, in my head, right, as this is happening, I mean, there's empathy and there's compassion and all that. But also simultaneously in my head, I'm like getting revved up, okay? Because I'm going, oh man, you have no idea, because I'm about to give you hope because we have been there. I'm going to give you some strategies. I'm going to help you. I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to comfort you. Are you following me? I'm just telling, when I sit across from someone who's in financial crisis, I mean, I feel it. I feel the weight of it, but I'm like, oh man, I'm about to help you. Because this is not the end, right? I'm going to help you because it is not over. I know you think that it's over, but it's not over. And I love finding that purpose in helping other people. Because guess what? When that happens, the enemy is no longer getting the credit for my pain, but God is getting the glory for rescuing me out of it. This is how we hack pain. I'm not telling you that you're going to live a pain-free life. I can't tell you that because Jesus already said, in this world you will have trouble. But what I can tell you is you get a choice when the pain comes. And the way that we hack it is that we find the purpose in it. We find meaning in going through that trouble time. I just have to brag on one of our families here in the church. They're at the early service. James and Christina Smith. They own Christina teaches in Rio Rancho schools, and then they own a dance studio, a Sparrow Dance Studio. And I don't know about you, but man, it just seems like every couple of days there's another story of another school shooting or another scare or another threat or another thing. And I was talking to Christina, and you know, she was just like, I'm so tired of it. And she said, my friends are buying life insurance policies because we don't know, you know, if what's going to happen. And here's what I love about it is Christina, in this, she felt the pain, right? And she said, but there's got to be something we can do. And so she's teaming up. It's actually starting today. She's teaming up with one of our Rio Rancho police officers who runs something called Soul Punch Self-Defense. She teaches self-defense classes. And so you've got this dance teacher teaming up with this self-defense, you know, teacher. And they created this new thing, and it's kind of a mouthful, called Soul Punching Spartan Sparrows. Soul Punching Spartan Sparrows. Say that 5 times fast, right? And what they're doing is they're offering free of charge self-defense and active shooter classes for teachers and educators and school employees. And what I love is that often pain is paralyzing. And for Christina and for many of you, the pain can just stop us in our tracks from doing what God has called us to do. But instead of allowing it to stop her, she said, I think there's a purpose here. I think I can leverage, you know, the relationships that I have and the studio that I have and the things God's, and we can help people so that our teachers don't have to walk around in fear, but they can walk around confidently. Are you following this? And I love it. She called me this week. She's like, Pastor, I don't know what to do. The Today Show called, and they want to do a story, and ABC called, and NBC called, and all. And then I'm like, what? And I told her, I said, don't take this the wrong way, but I'm like, you're just a teacher. I mean, like, you know, I'm so proud of you. I'm not minimizing this. I'm saying, because you've thought this too, right? It's like, I'm just a fill in the blank, right? I'm just one. I'm just this. I'm just that. But here's what I know. Is when we leverage our pain, by finding purpose and saying, I'm not going to allow the enemy to have the last word. I'm going to use this to glorify God and to help as many people as I can, as many people as God will put in our lives. I'm going to help as many people. Then God gets the glory and he gives you platforms you never even dreamed of. 2 Corinthians continues, says, we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles that we experienced. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so we despaired life itself. Instead, we felt we had received the sentence of death. This is what pain does, right? Pain just drags you down into misery. It becomes so big and overwhelming. There's this pressure. I don't know if I can endure it. I'm despairing life. It feels like a life sentence. And Paul continues, he says, but this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from peril and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us. You see, Paul leaned in to the comfort of God. He relied on the power of God to get him through. I can tell you for my life that in my pain, I pressed in to the love and the grace and the hope of God. And I'm just telling you, okay, that at the end of the day, God wants your heart. And he didn't cause the pain, but he's there ready for you to lean in to the comfort, to rely on him. Worship team, you can join me. I want to tell you one last story. There's a guy named Larry Walters. He's also known as the lawn chair pilot. The lawn chair pilot. On July 2nd, 1982, Larry tied 45 of those big weather balloons filled with helium to a lawn chair. He anchored the lawn chair to his Jeep, and he filled these balloons. He tied them all on there, and he sat down on the lawn chair with the following items. Okay, get this list. A parachute, pretty good idea. A pellet gun, a CB radio, a few sandwiches, some beer, and a camera. All right? You can totally tell this is a dude, right? He's like, I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going to take some sandwiches with me. I'm going to be a little bit hungry. His plan, once he got into the air, was to use the pellet gun to shoot balloons out one at a time so that he could descend. What a plan, right? This guy, he thought it through, right? He sits in the chair. He's got some friends there with him. They cut the rope, and he takes off faster than he ever imagined. And he quickly ascends to 16,000 feet in elevation. At 16,000 feet, two commercial airline pilots spot him flying through the air on a lawn chair. I wish I had recording of that conversation. Can you imagine? Air control, there's a man up here in a lawn chair. A what? He's got a BB gun, right? I mean, he's eating a ham sandwich. I mean, right? Larry's flying at 16,000 feet. He has no control over where he goes. So he drifts into federal airspace over the Long Beach airport. And he's communicating with his team by CB radio. And the team says, what information do you want us to tell the airport? And this is like verbatim. Like they've got this recorded. He says, the difficulty is that I'm on an unauthorized launch. And I know I'm in federal airspace. And I'm sure my ground crew has already alerted the authority. But just call and make sure they know I'm okay. What in the world? This dude has lost his marbles. 45 minutes, he's floating around up there. He starts shooting balloons out one at a time, right? Starts coming down a little bit, coming down, shoots another balloon. At some point, he shoots a balloon and it shifts the lawn chair and he drops his BB gun. Can you imagine this? You know, some kid in Long Beach got a new BB gun, right? Where did that? Thank you, Jesus. So he has to wait for the helium to just wear out. So 45 minutes goes by and he finally gets down and he lands and the police are waiting for him, and they arrest him on the spot, right? And the press is there. I mean, it's a big deal. And I love this. This is what I want you to catch. The press are like, why? Why would you do this? And he says this profound statement. He says, a man can't just sit around. Okay. That's why you tied 45. A man can't just sit around. And I read this story this week. I read several versions of it. I'm captured by it. Partly because it would be so fun to do, right? I'm not going to, but can you imagine? And here's what I feel the Holy Spirit saying to us today as we're trying to hack pain. If you've been through something, you can't just sit around. If you've been through pain and God has brought you through, I'll use this word, I think you have an obligation to use that pain to give God glory by helping as many people as you can for the rest of your life. And I'll go back to where I began. The enemy's plan is to keep you focused on the pain instead of the rescuer. And you know what happens when you begin to share the story and you begin to help others is you quickly get your eyes off of the pain, and now the focus is on the God of rescue, on the God of healing, on the God of provision, on the God, are you getting this? Now, all of a sudden, what was meant to destroy you and distract you and bring you down, now all of a sudden, now it's all on the hope. It's like, yeah, that happened. Yeah, I've been through that, right? I meet with a group of pastors once a year in Dallas. We were just together in February, and our pastor that leads it, he shared this story. He said, you know, the legend is that King Arthur and his knights, they would gather, you know, around the table, you know, once a year, and they would meet together and plan and strategize. And he said, sounds weird, but all the knights, they would all come to this meeting, and they would take their shirts off to come to the meeting because they all had scars. And the idea was, it was, we're gonna come here and we're gonna share our battle scars, right? We're gonna talk about our stories. We're gonna talk about when we won this battle and when this happened, we took this city and we did this. But we have some scars to show for those wins, right? And that's the idea today. That's the idea. Is I know that you've been through pain, but I know that we can hack it by finding purpose. So I'm going to pray for you today. I have two things I want to pray. The first one is this. I'm going to tell you what they are before so we can just engage. We can see what God wants to do. So the first one is that you have in some intense pain in your life right now. It can be any category. It doesn't matter, but you got some intense pain, and you know that pain has paralyzed you from moving forward, from doing what God created you for. I want to pray for those of you that's you today. And then the second one is that we're going to pray that we would be able to channel our pain into a greater purpose. And I'll be honest, that part excites me because, man, if we could send a whole bunch of us out today to be agents of hope in our city, agents of hope that say, man, I was there, I've been there, I've been through that, but God, and you can give that hope to some. I get so excited about what God can do in our city as we give him glory instead of giving the enemy credit for the chaos that he's created. Church, why don't you bow your heads right now, just close your eyes. I want to pray for those of you right now that have some pain, intense pain that's paralyzing you. I've been praying for you all week. I want to see you set free this morning. I feel very specifically that for a few of you, that it's a really, really old pain that you have not allowed yourself to properly work through. And I just feel led again to say to you, lean in to the comfort of God. Lean in to the comfort. So if that's you today, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If that's you today, would you just lift your hand? Would you just lift your hand? You're saying, I've got some pain that needs to be dealt with. There's a whole bunch of you. Thank you. I need the comfort of God today. And you can put your hand down. I'm going to try to handle it very sensitively because I want you to feel like you can respond without any judgment, without anyone looking at you differently. So church, just right where you're at, probably 15, 20 people that responded to that. Would you take 2 minutes and would you just pray? You don't have to know who raised their hand. Would you just pray right now? Father, we pray for those that lifted their hand, that there's some pain. I don't know if it's new or if it's old, but it's intense. And it's been paralyzing. It's been distracting. It's been destructive. And so right now, in the authority of Jesus Christ, we break that in the name of Jesus. We break it right now. We say, be free. We say, be comforted. We say, experience the love and the compassion of God like never before. Like never before. Father God, will you wrap your loving arms around your children today? God of all comfort, Father of compassion, will you come near? Your word says you are near to the brokenhearted. You are near to those who are experiencing pain. And so God, I just pray that right now that you would set us free. I pray specifically you'd set us free from past pain that we've carried through all of the seasons of our lives. Today, God, will you bring freedom? Will you bring forgiveness? Will you bring healing? In Jesus' name, we're believing that today. And now if you're here today and you'd say, Pastor, there's pain in my life, and if God will use me, I'm willing to be a conduit to bring hope to others. If that's you, would you just stand to your feet right where you're at? You just say, I'm willing to share my story. I'm willing to give hope. I'm willing to empower others. I'm willing to give God glory. I'm willing for my story to have purpose today. I'm not going to let the enemy have the credit, but I'm going to give God the glory. So, Father, I pray right now over these friends. Lord, I thank you that you are empowering us today. You are sending us out with hope in our hearts. You're sending us out with energy, with purpose, with meaning behind our stories. So God, today, I'm praying that you'd put people in our paths this week, Lord, to have conversations where we can share our stories, we can share our hope, we can share the strategies of how you brought us through. And God, I pray, Lord, that all across our city, that your name would be glorified, that your hope would be contagious. And God, that many, many people would come to know you as Savior, as Lord, as Rescuer, as Healer, as Provider. God, send us out today in the powerful, wonderful name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. If you're not standing already, why don't you stand with me this morning? Harvest, as you're leaving today, may the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, give you grace now and forever. Harvest, go be the church.
Thank you for listening to the Harvest Fellowship podcast. For more information, visit harvestabq.org.